те люди, що вам скаже наша пісня. Був один такий, що танцював по лісся. Мав родину, хату, що йому ще треба. Та й продав це швидко для свого неба. Кася, разом були, поки з танцем не спіткався. На все добре, хай так скаже наша пісня. Шанувати родину, хатину, не полісся. Наша пісня нашим серцем, кожен має свою долю. Саша каже, що не може, його жінка грає диско на селі. Ой, скажте, люди, донки, можна в світі мандрувати. Ой, скажте, люди, коли в хаті буду добре мати. Ой, скажте, люди, донки, можна в світі мандрувати. Ой, скажте, люди, чом люба хоче мене прощати. Час в недовзі раз одного ранку вернув танців них до жінки при сніданку. В хаті діти всі докупи позбігались, любов в родині на всі віки захищали. Наша пісня нашим серцем, кожен має свою долю. Саша каже, що не може, його жінка грає диско на селі. Серцем кожен має свою долю. Саша каже, що не може, його жінка грає диско на селі. Ой, скажте, люди, донки, можна в світі мандрувати. Ой, скажте, люди, коли в хаті буду добре мати. Ой, скажте, люди, донки, можна в світі мандрувати. Ой, скажте, люди, чом люба хоче мене прощати.
And that was Berkut from Poland and a song called Disco na Seli, Disco in the Village. And Berkut is one of the most popular and recognized Ukrainian folk rock bands in Poland, with members that consist of both Ukrainians and Poles, with a passion for creating music inspired by Ukrainian folk songs. And they've released three albums already in 2005, 2006, and the song you just heard, Disco na Seli, is from their third, which is called Berkut 3. And they released that in August of 2010, and it just arrived in the mail not long ago to enhance the music library here at Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. And we'll be bringing you more Berkut later on in the show. Вітаю вас всіх, шановні радіослухачі, на радіопередачу «Наш голос». Говорить Павліна Макварі. Дякую, що рішили перебути зі мною наступну годину, послухати чудову українську музику. І також ми маємо дуже цікаві новини на сьогоднішній програмі. Hello there, and welcome to Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. I'm Paulette Demchik-McQuarrie, your host, Pavlina, and I am delighted to have you with me, whether you're tuning in on AM, FM, shortwave, online, or in-flight to the Vancouver broadcast at AM 1320 or the International PCJ Radio Edition, or if you're time-shifting and catching the podcast. A very warm welcome to you, Vitayu. We have an amazing program for you today on Ukrainian food flair. Sylvia will join us with a recipe for halushke, and those are dumplings that, unlike pierogies, are not filled. On Cultural Capsule, Vasel Pavlovsky will be telling us all about the Ruthenian Elevator Company, an Ukrainian entrepreneurial endeavor from early 20th century Canada. On Ukrainian News Outlook, Keith reports on a new decree to combat organized crime and also preparations for Euro 2012, and that includes a brand new theme song by Ruslana. So stay tuned for that. And Keith will also join us for an exclusive interview with international sports commentator Boris Shadov to talk about the upcoming Euro 2012 being hosted by Ukraine and Poland. And as well, our usual proverb of the week, other items of interest, and great Ukrainian music, and lots of new music. Along with the Berkut CD came a couple of more in the mail recently, and one of them from a new group in Winnipeg called Siege. And here is a song that sounds a bit, to me anyways, like a cross between klezmer and doo-wop. It's called Prezoryanych Nochach, Beneath Starlit Night. And here they are now, Siege from Winnipeg.
Плела волосся у вінок, брови розвела і пішла в танок. Вечір вже поволі доряв, і у світлі зір він її чекав. А вона, як весна, наче буя неземна. Чарую мала. А вона, як весна, така приємна, запашна, в полі блукала, долі шукала. Огорнулась в ранішню росу, шовкова трава збереже красу. А він на супівці вирівав плаття олубе, ніжно обнімав. А вона, як весна, наче буйна неземна, приворожила, зачарувала. А вона, як весна, така приємна, запашна, в полі блукала, долі шукала. Майовий вечір догоря, чути здаля пісню солов'я. І піднялась шовкова трава, в зеленім гаю він її шукав. А вона, як весна, наче буйна неземна, зачарувала. А вона, як весна, така приємна, запашна, в полі блукала, долі шукала. Така приємна, запашна, в полі блукала, долі шукала, в полі блукала, долі шукала.
And that was the Polish-Ukrainian band Berkut again. And that song was Avona, which means, in direct translation, is and her or and she. So, of course, Ukrainian speakers listening will agree, probably, that loses in the translation a bit. But the music itself makes up for a lot of that. On vocals, that was Paweł, pardon my Polish here, Paweł Perczak, and listeners in the Vancouver area will recognize that surname. It's very well known here in the community, and I'm not sure, though, if there's any relation, but maybe we'll find out at some point in the future and get back to you on that. Other band members are, and again, pardon my Polish here, Sławomir Szmarczyk on accordion, Dariusz Hendierski on trabka, and I think that might be trumpet, and flugelhorn, Artur Rudel on the lead guitar, Michael Szymanik on the bass guitar, Igor Kozubel on percussion, I guess drums. And on this album, Berkut is joined by feature guest Patrick Nakielski on violin and Kuba Czapliewicz on the trombone, or puzon, as it's called in Polish. Now, Berkut was formed in 2004 and was named after a species of eagle which lives in the Karpaty, the Carpathian Mountains, which both Poland and Ukraine share. Now, in listening to their CD, to my mind, to my ear anyways, it seems like they're coming pretty darn close to defining a contemporary genre that is unique and identifiably Ukrainian, or at least East Central European. Now, kind of like salsa and rumba for Latin Americans, reggae and calypso for Afro-Caribbeans, klezmer for East European Jews, and bagra for Indians. Now, someone, I guess, just has to come up with a name for it. Here is Berkut again with another number from their CD Berkut 3. It is called Zozula Cuckoo Bird.
Летіла зозуля через сад куючи, ой, заплакав косаченько до дівчини йдучи. Ой, заплакав косаченько до дівчини йдучи. Ой, прийшов додому і не скаже нікому. Ой, сів собі кінець столу, підперся рукою. Ой, сів собі кінець столу, підперся рукою. Його мати ходить, білі ручки ломить. Ой, сину мій, єдиночку, чом ти не говориш? Ой, сину мій, єдиночку, чом ти не говориш? Спився, чи з дороги збився, чи у тої чорнявої отрути напився, чи у тої чорнявої отрути напився. Приходять до нього товариші його, стали його розважати, кличуть погуляти. Стали його розважати, кличуть погуляти. Приходять другі та кличуть косити. Ой, не можу, товариші, олівки зносити. Ой, не можу, товариші, олівки зносити. Ходять третії, кличуть копи класти. Ой, не можу, товариші, олівки піднести. Ой, не можу, товариші, олівки піднести. Не треба мені сіна, не треба ні трошки. Тільки треба сожень землі і чотири дошки. Треба сожень землі і чотири дошки. Летіла зозуля через сад куючи, ой, заплакав косаченько до дівчини йдучи. Ой, заплакав косаченько до дівчини йдучи.
You're listening to Nash Holoth, Ukrainian Roots Radio, broadcasting from Vancouver Island, Canada, for PCJ Radio. And now, Ukrainian Food Flair with Sylvia Molnar. Tips for Ukrainian cooking.
Hello. Drop dumplings made of a batter called halushki in Ukrainian should be very light and tender. A plateful of these lovely dumplings slathered with fried onions and butter, topped with sour cream, makes a meal for me, but normally they are used as a side dish, served as a wonderful accompaniment to meat, poultry, or roasted meat with rich home-style gravy instead of other starches. These are easier to make than filled dumplings, and you can make these drop dumplings in minutes, and the variations can be limitless. You'll need the following ingredients: 3/4 cup flour, 3/4 cup cream of wheat, 2 teaspoons baking powder, 1 teaspoon salt, 1/4 cup cold butter, 2 eggs slightly beaten, 1/4 cup milk or buttermilk, and 6 to 8 liters of salted water. The topping: 2 large onions finely chopped and 1/4 cup butter diced, sour cream. Mix flour and cream of wheat, baking powder, and salt. Add the butter, the flour mixture, and crumble to form a coarse meal. Add the eggs and milk, stirring the batter until smooth. Drop the batter with a tablespoon that has been dipped in the simmering salted water each time. Cover and simmer for 8 minutes. Some say they are better when cooked under a cover. They will float to the top when they are done. Remove with a slotted spoon into a buttered baking dish and keep warm in a slow oven, about 200 degrees Fahrenheit, until all the dumplings and topping are done. For the topping, melt the butter in a frying pan and sauté the onions until they are slightly caramelized. Cover the dumplings with the fried onions and serve with sour cream if desired. This recipe makes about 14 dumplings. Treat your taste buds. It's Ukrainian.
Thanks, Sylvia, for sharing your Ukrainian culinary expertise on Ukrainian Food Flair here on Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio.
Hello, I'm Sid Pavlovsky, and this is Cultural Capsule, especially for Nash Holos. In a previous segment of Cultural Capsule, I touched on the brief role that the cooperative movement played both in Ukraine and Canada. As you can well imagine, that was just the tip of the iceberg. In fact, there were some extremely entrepreneurial individuals amongst the early Ukrainian settlers to Canada, and some of this business spirit even showed through in the area of cooperatives. As stated by Boris Martinovich in his essay, The First Ukrainian Businessman, 1902-1929, there was one venture that was the most ambitious Ukrainian-Canadian economic undertakings during the early years of Ukrainian settlement in Canada. By 1917, trading of futures in grain on the Winnipeg Exchange had been banned, and the newly formed Board of Grain Supervisors was given a monopoly for wheat throughout the country. While it cannot be confirmed, it would be fair to speculate that maybe this cooperative effort was in reaction to the halting of futures trading and other government intervention in the markets. On May 17, 1917, the Ruthenian Farmers Elevator Company was organized and chartered as a cooperative by 3 very active individuals in the Ukrainian community in Winnipeg. They were Taras Ferli, the cooperative's president; Ivan Petrusevich, an economist who had worked with Narodna Torhivia in western Ukraine, which was mentioned in the previous segment of Cultural Capsule, and had helped in its expansion; and a lawyer by the name of J.W. Arsenich. However, such a cooperative would not have been possible without the rural politicians and prosperous farmers who supported such an idea. In less than half a year, and in time for harvest, the cooperative had built 2 elevators, one in Ethbert, Manitoba, and the other in Jasmine, Saskatchewan. Within 2 years, they had grown to having a total of 14 elevators, and by 1920, they had 1,200 shareholders and managed to turn a profit of $22,000. Their good fortune continued until grain prices dropped after 1927, and shortly after the Great Depression had started, the cooperative was folded. The biographies of at least 2 of these men who chartered this venture are extremely fascinating, from what I learned in researching today's program, though we will touch on them in the future. I'm Vasily Pavlovsky, and this week's cultural capsule on Nash Holos looked at one of the early economic ventures of Canada's Ukrainian pioneers, the Ruthenian Farmers Elevator Company.
From June 8th to July 1st, 2012, Ukraine and Poland will be jointly hosting the Euro 2012, the largest football championship next to the World Cup. Boris Shidov, who has been a soccer commentator for more than 20 years, is a walking, talking encyclopedia when it comes to the sport. He has worked for the BBC, Channel 4, Radio Canada International, and many others. He joins Keith Perron from PCJ Radio now for the first in a series of discussions on Euro 2012, which is seen by many as a way for Ukraine to show itself on the world stage.
Sometimes I'm blind, but I see you. You're here, but so far away. The times when you are not missing, you make me feel like I'm spinning. Sometimes you get what you get. I'm on a course of collision. I'm not about to give in. Can't explain my position or the condition I'm in. Where I am, there's no limit, no walls, no ceiling, no intermission, so.
Can you hear me? Enrique Iglesias, that was used for Euro 2008, that was jointly hosted between Austria and Switzerland. Well, Euro 2012 is just around the corner. This time around, it will be hosted by Poland and Ukraine. The first time that Euro, the UEFA Cup that is, has made its way to Eastern Europe. Well, to talk about this and other things soccer-related, I'm joined by soccer commentator Boris Shidov. Boris, let me ask you, I think a question that somebody who doesn't know about Euro UEFA and, say, the World Cup, are they comparatively the same size, or is the World Cup bigger?
Well, Keith, I will tell you that the World Cup is much, much bigger. I would say that the Euro 2012 is probably equivalent to the European version. So I would say it's the European World Cup. It's held every 4 years, right in between the two World Cups. So the next one, obviously, is 2012, and it's going to be jointly hosted by Ukraine and Poland. And we will expect some great action. But I would say that the European we could say World Cup, the Euro 2012, is probably the second biggest soccer tournament after the World Cup. You simply have all the European nations that qualify are competing in this tournament that's sanctioned by UEFA. But it does attract many, many viewers, especially now in North America.
Now, Boris, as you know, football, or soccer as it's known in North America and some other places, is probably, if not the most popular sport in the world. You can go to any park, any playground, you will see people playing the sport. Now, a moment ago, you, of course, mentioned that the World Cup is a much larger, as a big sporting event. The UEFA Cup is mainly for Europe, but even though, despite the fact that it's mainly for Europe, I suppose then you would also have other regions of the world that people would be tuning in by the millions. It could be in Africa, Southeast Asia, the Pacific. Would you agree with that?
I certainly agree with that. With the advent of satellite TV channels sprung up everywhere across the world, people will definitely have access to viewing all these games more so than ever before. So I certainly believe that a lot of people, especially soccer or football lovers around the world, will be watching these games avidly. Just to let your audience know, they begin the 8th of June and go right through to the 1st of July 2012. So that's in a couple of months' time. You'll be able to watch some of the world's best players from across the European Union.
You know, it was quite amazing. Just recently, a listener of mine sent me a picture that he took when he was in Indonesia in 2008. And he visited some village and they were watching the Euro 2008 off satellite television that was all powered by a generator. And there were 30 people inside this little room just to watch it. It is quite amazing.
Well, it is amazing how people have caught on to watching the game. And even though you have other major sports, I still believe that the beautiful game still remains the beautiful game right across the world.
Now, the Euro 2012 will be jointly hosted by Ukraine and Poland. This is the first time that Eastern Europe will be hosting such a major sporting event. Because of the history of Ukraine and Poland, Poland being a former Soviet satellite, Ukraine at one point being occupied by the Soviet Union, was there any concern amongst officials or even teams that they would not be able to pull it off?
Well, there has been concerns, and there was, I don't know if any of your audience watched a recent BBC World documentary on quite this topic, where they were discussing the problems and the aspirations of people and organizers hosting the Euro 2012 in Ukraine and Poland. One of the problems has been the lack of funding, simply because of the downturn in the economy in 2008. After the stock markets crashed, business has slowed down immensely, and the organizing committee of World Football has actually been worried that possibly some of these games might not be pulled off. For instance, in Michael Platini went on record recently saying that he was really scared that some of the preparations were not going to be ready for 2012. But it seems that the organizing committees are adamant at pulling off these games. Obviously, hosting some of these games is an immense significance for national prestige for each country. And they know that this is a showpiece of the nation's ability to host such a major tournament.
But, you know, the concerns that you just mentioned, this seems to be an ongoing thing, because before the World Cup was held in South Africa, before the Beijing 2008 Olympic Games, the Commonwealth Games, even recently in India, people were really concerned right until the final hour, but it worked out. Do you think that these concerns maybe are just a little bit of an overreaction?
It probably I would say they are a bit of an overreaction. Obviously, if any major event, like for instance the upcoming Olympics being held in London in the UK next year in 2012, if those games or tournaments are held in major industrialized countries, usually there's less of a concern. But for instance, I do remember, and most people remember, that there was really grave concerns for the World Cup being hosted last year in South Africa. It was the first time that it was hosted by an African nation, but everything went well, and South Africa got flying colors, 10 out of 10, for hosting one of the best World Cup games. The next one, as most people know, will be held in Brazil in 2014, and those games seem to be on track. So certainly there are concerns from countries that are not, industrialized like Western countries, but I believe that eventually everything works out well.
So in the end then, for people of Poland and people of Ukraine, this is almost a way of saying, look guys, we're here, we're now on the world stage.
Exactly. If the organizing committee of World Football, FIFA, wants to, and obviously they want to expand the game as much as possible worldwide, they're going to have to take those chances. And there could be certain consequences, but I think the games are so important to any hosting nation for, as we mentioned, national prestige, that any country hosting these games, these football tournaments, are going to damn well make sure that everything works out well.
Okay, now let's change to another subject, because I know there are some people listening right now who probably have the question, because they don't know, but how do teams qualify?
Well, teams have to obviously be situated in the European area, or European region, and the teams actually qualify. There is a new methodology that's used by FIFA, the world organizing body. They have world rankings, and those rankings are, it's actually a complicated formula, which would take too long to explain here, but it is a ranking that encompasses various results from previous World Cups, from domestic championships, and that's how the teams are decided. And then there's a seeding that goes into each group. For instance, in the 2012 Euro Championships, there are nine separate groups, some of these groups containing six teams, others five. And they'll go through a usual round-robin tournament to finally get the two finalists that will be playing for the Euro 2012. So it actually is a complicated process.
Now, Boris, we still have some time to go before the actual kickoff of the first game. What can we expect? Are there going to be any surprises that people would just go, wah?
Well, there are always surprises in these major tournaments. For instance, in two tournaments back, the surprise winner of the Euro was Greece. And who would have expected that? If you are drawn into a group that is fairly weak, you probably will do well, but I think it's anybody's guess as to who's going to win. But the traditional powerhouses such as Spain, last year's World Cup winners, Italy, France, or England, one of those teams is definitely going to win. But just if we want to talk some of the qualifiers right now at this point, of course you have Poland and Ukraine that automatically qualify because they are the co-hosts. Spain, winner of the last tournament, they also qualify automatically. And then you've got Germany that's qualified already from Group A as of the 2nd of September this year. Group B, the qualifiers already are Russia. Group C is Italy. Group D, we have France. Group E, the Netherlands. Group F, Greece. And Group G is England. They had a very disappointing draw with Switzerland, but surprisingly scraped through. Group H, you have Denmark, and Spain, as we said, has already qualified through. And the best runner-up was Sweden. There is a round of qualifying that still has to go ahead in November. There are two dates in November. And then we should, when we talk again, Keith, we will have all the final qualifiers for the Euro 2012, and then maybe be able to gauge some of the winners and some of the surprises that we might have in this tournament.
Boris, thank you very much for talking to us today.
Thank you very much, Keith. All the best.
You're listening to Nash Holos, Ukrainian Roots Radio, broadcasting from Vancouver Island, Canada, for PCJ Radio.
Ukrainian News Outlook.
New decree to combat corruption approved by Viktor Yanukovych. And Ukraine getting ready for Euro 2012. I'm Keith Parron. The concept of public policy on combating organized crime has been introduced in Ukraine. Viktor Yanukovych approved the new document by the special decree on October 21st. The concept of public policy on combating organized crime defines the state public policy of Ukraine in combating organized crime for the period of 2011 and 2017, and is aimed at stimulating the development of the national legislation in line with the international anti-corruption standards. The presidential administration noted that the document was in line with the protests of harmonization of the Ukrainian legislation with the norms of the European Union. The document specifies the need to improve the Ukrainian system in combating organized crime, with an emphasis on illegal financial activities, money laundering, evading taxes, hiding of assets, human trafficking, organizing illegal migration, and drug trafficking. One of the milestones of the program is improving the efficiency of state bodies responsible for combating organized crime. Recently, Ukraine adopted the Law of Ukraine on the foundations of prevention and combating corruption, along with a number of other documents. From June 8th to July 1st, soccer fans worldwide will have their eyes on Ukraine for Euro 2012, which is jointly being hosted by Poland. The Olympic National Sports Complex in Kiev, that was built in the 1930s, has gone through a major renovation and is the country's largest stadium. President Viktor Yanukovych opened the newly renovated sports center. Alexander Molokolop was there and filed this report.
Ukraine has inaugurated its biggest stadium, the Olympijski National Sports Complex. Legendary sports figures, junior teams and volunteers walked through the reconstructed stadium in a celebratory parade. Olympijski Stadium is the main football arena in Ukraine and was first built in 1930s. During the Soviet era, Olympic Games were held here. Now the stadium, which is one of the largest in Europe, has become the new symbol of the 2012 UEFA European Football Championship, which will be co-hosted by Ukraine and Poland from June 8th to July 1st, 2012. The final and closing ceremony of Euro 2012 will be held at this stadium. According to the official data, the reconstruction of Ukraine's Olympic Stadium has cost around $570 million. The renewed arena, which was built in the Soviet era, now combines the European experience and high-end technology. Stadium infrastructure meets the UEFA requirements as elite class with new security system, video control systems and information and computer technologies. The glass facade and roof in the form of semi-transparent synthetic membranes cover the entire seats.
I'm very delighted with what I see. I'm really proud of my country.
I can see it is not polished 100%, but we managed to resolve the most knotty problems.
Among the top officials, Ukraine's President Viktor Yanukovych addressed the crowd during the ceremony, which was broadcast live.
This successful reconstruction will promote Ukraine's image in the most positive way. The construction of one of the largest stadiums in Europe proved to the world that Ukraine is capable of holding such a big event.
According to the reconstruction project, Olympijski National Sports Complex is a multi-purpose sports arena for football matches and athletic competitions at international level. A friendly match between the Ukrainian and German national football teams will take place at stadium on November 11th. Alexander Molotkova, Kyiv.
Staying with Euro 2012, the winner of the Eurovision Song Contest in 2004, Ruslana, has dedicated a song to Euro 2012. The song will make its debut to the Ukrainian public on October 29th at the opening ceremony of the new stadium in Lviv, built for Euro 2012. The song, called Let's Play, is about future victory. And with that, we've come to the end of this edition of Ukrainian News Outlook. We're going to leave you with a little more now of Let's Play by Ruslana. Until next time, I'm Keith Perron.
tune from another new CD that recently arrived here at Nash Holos. It is called The City That Never Sleeps by a group called Brete Bluesu, which translates as the Blues Brothers from Ukrainian into English. And it features the original compositions of a contemporary Ukrainian composer by the name of Miroslav Levitsky, a very prolific composer. And this CD also features Renz Newland, who is an Austrian jazz guitarist, very well known on the European music scene. Again, that was from the CD, The City That Never Sleeps by Brete Bluesu and Sky Colored Blue Eyes. Well, we're going to be changing the pace and the genre quite a bit right now. You might want to get your dancing boots laced up if you loosen them up earlier for the talk portion in the program. We've got music that harkens back to my Ukrainian roots, music from the prairies, good old-time music. And it is the Ukrainian old-timers we've got on deck next with the Eddie Stone Waltz. Best in Ukrainian music and programming, tune in to Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio every Sunday evening at 6 p.m., AM 1320 on the radio dial in Vancouver, online at am1320.com. In Nanaimo on the PCJ Network Wednesdays at 2 p.m. on 101.7 FM and online at chly.ca. Elsewhere, Nash Holos airs on AM, FM, and shortwave radio on the PCJ Network in over 28 countries. Podcasts are available at nashholos.com as well as at pcjmedia.com and on iTunes. And just a reminder that there's still a book contest on, and this is a chance to win an autographed copy of a new novel called Silence of Trees. And all you need to do is send me an email with your name, phone number, and details of when you heard the contest details. Essentially just what station or which podcast, if it's Vancouver or PCJ, if you're listening in Vancouver, Nanaimo, or in any other station on the PCJ network. Send me an email, producer@nashholos.com. And the contest is extended until November 6th to accommodate listeners to the PCJ International Edition. And that gives the local Vancouver Edition listeners a little bit of an extra chance as well to enter this contest for this novel, which would make an ideal Christmas gift or keepsake for yourself. На жаль, ми вже скінчили нашу програму, вже час додому і сказати до побачення, але перед тим я хочу залишити вас такими словами мудрості. Від дурня полувріж і втікай, як хочеш мати спокій і рай. And our proverb of the week translates as, if you wish to be wise, put your tongue on a leash and let loose your mind. Well, that just about wraps things up. So to take us to the end of our program, we have the Playboy Band from Edmonton, Alberta, and the Otacon. I'm Paulette Demchik-McQuarrie. On behalf of all of us here at Nosh Holos and PCJ Radio, thanks so much for listening. Until next time, do pobaczenia.